and to gain public support for that,
yeah,
you start to lose people when you venture into criminal acts
but
who
I,
might
I,
otherwise have supported you.
I'll play devil's advocate with you, though. Having granola bars and Gatorade,
right.
Do you get your point across by doing that?
Yeah, fair enough. I just look back.
I'm not suggesting we should be breaking windows. I'm just saying, you know.
That's why things escalate, right? You get more attention. Which are the campuses that are getting the most attention? Did you see UW-Madison on, you know, the national news yesterday? No, you saw Columbia. And I'm not saying UW didn't get some national pub as being part of it. Yeah, but, right, yeah. The campuses that are being covered are the ones where things have turned violent.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Day, what, 13, 14 of the demonstrations and the protests that have been taking place. The main site has been Columbia University in New York City. We'll start there, Vince. We have some local news to share as well, but let's start there. What happened last night has now changed this story dramatically. Demonstrators taking over Hamilton Hall at Columbia University. They've barricaded themselves in. They've broken windows. They've blocked the doors. No one's allowed in.
People who were already inside Hamilton Hall decided to smash the windows and then put bike locks like around each door handle. And they also zip tied the door handles.
That's Jessica Schwab. She's a student who observed this happen. So those who've paid attention over the years may recognize Hamilton Hall. I was not aware of this, but
has some historic significance.
Yes, this
here.
Was the scene of a major anti-Vietnam War occupation back in 1968. So there's some symbolism here, but this will now change how this story plays out. There was talk of suspensions with some of these students from Columbia. They're saying, look, if you don't move, you're suspended until at least the next 12 months, if not longer. There's some talk of maybe trying to work with some of those folks who are intense. But once you start breaking things and pushing people out of buildings, that could affect how you are treated by those that have been observing this closely.
And more, I don't want to say more importantly, but on the larger issue, how you are perceived by the rest of the world whom you're trying to convince that your view on geopolitics is correct. I got more on that, but let's get a few more details, and then we can kind of go back and
not
re-examine.
Only Columbia. So there's been riot police at Texas, University of Texas. They've had 1,000 arrests, and some of these demonstrations have begun. They had 200 arrests this weekend alone. In some areas, they're saying, hey, look, we're not treating you like kids. In Florida, they took people into custody at the universities there and said, you're not a child. You're a protester. You know the rules. And if you're getting in the way of, you know, if you're breaking the law, you're going to run into problems. That's also happening in Portland. Portland State University, I'm sorry, in Oregon. That demonstration has taken a turn now. Dozens of students occupying the school's library.
With the breaching of the library and the fortification going on at the library, this has now become a criminal event, and it's no longer considered to be a public order or free speech event.
So this then becomes, no, you're not at school and being able to share your thoughts and your beliefs, which you're more than able to do, but then you become a potential criminal. That was the police chief. Here's the DA in Portland.
I expect that felony charges could be filed, depending on what evidence we gather, including burglary and felony criminal mischief.
Felony charges. And by the way, you have a final next week.
And by the way, this is Portland, Oregon. If there's a place in the nation, maybe a handful, that might be more receptive to letting things go. I mean, you remember what happened post-George Floyd. Entire areas were taken over in Portland and just sort of allowed to exist as lawless zones. So if there's a place where you're going to get a better look from authorities, for an opportunity to do what you want to do and protest and have your voice heard, boy, Portland, Oregon is at the top of the list. And if they're talking tough, that's how this thing's going to change.
And then there's Wisconsin. The tents are up this morning at UW in Madison. There are also tents this morning at UWD Milwaukee. TMJ4 is Sydney Orr is there.
We're getting our first look at some of those protesters waking up and coming out of the tents that they slept in all night long. You can see them here across the lawn just waking up, getting those Gatorades and waters. We saw people grabbing some granola bars. They really just have everything that you could think of. There's coffee in over under one tent, and people just kind of waking up to a new day with all of the tents and things behind this barricade that they put in place.
So certainly not on the level of breaking into buildings and whatever, but also those tents are illegally set up.
Yeah, that's against the rules here in the state, against the law to be able to putting up tents on those campuses.
All right, so you're up to speed on the developments. Let's get into some of the arguments here. First of all, on that point, you wonder how many of these protesters are hardline protesters who have a feeling or a thought or a connection to a cause, and how many are just students. My roommate said they're going down to the protest. They're against the war at a place that I couldn't find on a map.
So, and so it's I'm going to sleep in a tent tonight for that.
It's fun when you're waking up and getting a Gatorade. It's another thing when now, oh boy, the movement is moving inside. We're breaking into a building. How many are committed to the cause at that level versus how many are just walking around, right?
I've heard that line said a lot the last couple of years.
So there's that.
Yeah, and that's interesting. That's a very curious thought there because, and you know me, and I, whether or not I know everything about any such topic, if someone has a strong belief or passion for it, more power to you. If you're doing it, if you're expressing your First Amendment rights, that's fine. If you're having a Gatorade at the same time, sure, go ahead. But there's that, and then there's the breaking and entering and taking over Hamilton Hall or any library at all these different universities. I mean, either way, it's going to have to be dealt with at some point, right?
And then on top of that, not just the damage to property, not just the trespassing, but also preventing other people, and I've made this point multiple times, who don't have a connection one way or another or have not chosen to participate in that, which is also their right. You're free to speak out. You're also free to not speak at all.
Sure.
On whatever you don't want to speak on. And if you just want to go to school, you're being prevented from doing that. And that changes also people's perception of what's happening here. I wanted to raise the point because, you know, if the whole point of these protests and demonstrations is to get movement on your issue and to gain public support for that, you start to lose people when you venture into criminal acts
but
who might otherwise have supported you.
I'll play devil's advocate with you, though. Having granola bars and Gatorade,
right.
Do you get your point across by doing that?
Yeah, fair enough. I just look back
at... I'm not suggesting we should be breaking windows. I'm just saying, you know...
That's why things escalate, right? You get more attention. Which are the campuses that are getting the most attention? Did you see UW-Madison on, you know, the national news yesterday? No, you saw Columbia. And I'm not saying UW didn't get some national pub as being part of it. Yeah, but right, the campuses that are being covered are the ones where things have turned violent. I go back to Act 10 in our state. And what a lot of folks don't remember when all those protests erupted, initially when Act 10 was proposed... And this was the thing about the teachers and public workers being able to collectively bargain and things like that. Governor Walker came into office and drastically made this proposal to drastically reduce their ability to do that. That was not popular. Polling suggested a majority of Wisconsinites did not like that and were against Act 10. And then the protests happened, and then the protests got out of hand, and you had people smash the doors or smash the windows to break into the Capitol building when Act 10 was ultimately being passed. And there were protesters who stayed in the Capitol for weeks at a time, never moving, never leaving. There was the controversy over doctors issuing fake sick notes so people get out of work, all of those things. And that's when public opinion changed from being against Act 10 to more folks aligning with what the governor was proposing. And I think what happened there was people looked at that, they saw the reaction, and they said, I wasn't initially before that, but that's not the team I'm on. That's not the side that I align with. And some folks who might have had an argument on one side lost that argument because of the behavior in some of those protests.
So did that play a role then on January 6th? You had a large protest, a humongous demonstration in the mall there. Then a large contingent of that group went to the Capitol. Then another contingent of that group had nefarious activity in the Capitol. And many of them are behind bars now. Did that lose votes? Did that lose support because of that movement? You know what I mean? Same, not the same thing, but a similar situation where taking something way too far.
And you also, that's a great illustration of different factions. There were plenty of people that went to the Capitol that day simply to march, and who all of a sudden found themselves swept up in this thing where others clearly intended to do other things. Within these groups, you have some people who might have a principled stand for or against Israel or whatever their particular argument is. They had no intention of breaking into buildings. But then when that starts to happen, everybody's thrown in together. And you wonder where those factions ultimately fall out.
Now, the protests continue again today. By the way, school's done at Columbia. They got their graduation commencement ceremony in 2 weeks.
No, they do not.
It's 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks is a long time from now, isn't it?
We're getting our first look at some of those protesters waking up and coming out of the tents that they slept in all night long. You can see them here across the lawn just waking up, getting those Gatorades and waters. We saw people grabbing some granola bars.
A27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This is Eric and me and Greg Pancake Hill, who produces the program, discussing amongst ourselves what we should do here.
I think you should give the tickets away.
That's what we should do here. Because we have like three stories we still want to get to you before we hit the top of the hour. We've got Governor Evers was out filling potholes again. Which, and he had an important message about workplace safety and other things. We got to do that. Mm-hmm. There is an important... Now, Pancake says this is boring. I disagree. I think freeways are fascinating. There's an important meeting tonight about the future of a stretch of freeway in Milwaukee. And we're not talking about the spur 794 that connects the Marquette to the Hone Bridge. So I want to get to that. Mm-hmm. You have zebras on the loose still.
I am a sucker for a good story of random animals running on the loose. And we have an update on that one.
So all of this stuff to get to.
Yeah.
Why don't we instead give away some tickets?
Yeah, give this ticket.
That solves the problem of what we talk about right here. And then we can talk about all those other things after
that. Yeah, we have time.
Great. Wisconsin State Fair coming up in just 3 months. We've got tickets to headlining shows all day today here on WTMJ. These are tickets for Casting Crowns with Torrin Wells. I originally, when they made that announcement, I'm like, ooh, Counting Crows coming to... No, it's Casting Crowns. So totally different with Torrin Wells.
That's a huge Christian rock band.
Yeah, August 5th show is coming to the Wisconsin State Fair.
And by the way, we should point out, these are like VIP tickets. So these are like top-of-the-line tickets for that show. It's not just grandstand.
And I'm told that also includes reserved parking in the first three rows of the lot that's nearest the grandstand. So you got that going for you as well. So Casting Crowns with Torrin Wells is the show, August 5th at Wisconsin State Fair. It's going to be at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel main stage. And we'll give them to caller number 10, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 on the WTMJ Talk and Text line. Wins the State Fair giveaway for the main stage, Pottawatomie Casino Hotel main stage, Casting Crowns with Torrin Wells. Wisconsin State Fair, August 1st through the 11th.
What's wrong with Rick? He's kind of spacey.
That's Rick's identical twin, Scott. He's not used to answering to Rick.
What's going on?
Rick asked me to keep it secret, but he asked his twin to cover his shift so he could go to Diamonds Direct to shop.
But this is a jewelry store.
Exactly. But the prices and selection are so much better at Diamonds Direct. Rick doesn't want the boss to get suspicious, so Scott's here in case the boss sees Rick at Diamonds Direct.
But that would mean that the boss is at Diamonds Direct, too.
Yeah? We have a lot of secrets.
I just want to scream hello.
Well, you don't hear a story like this every day, although I said that 2 weeks ago when you never hear a story about a random elephant walking through a town, but that happened also.
It's not that I don't enjoy them. I'm more amused by the fact that you're so amused. by these stories.
I am a sucker for the wild animal on the loose story. It is all the rage in Washington right now.
We want to begin tonight with possibly the most unusual travel alert we've brought to you in a while. New video you have to see to believe. Zebras running around North Bend.
That's right. Zebras in North Bend, Washington.
So like state of Washington?
Yeah, state of Washington. There were four of them. These are privately owned zebras being taken to Montana. They were being purchased and brought there for a petting zoo. Somehow they got loose. And people were sitting in their cars, much like the elephant a couple of weeks ago in Butte, Montana. People are in their cars taping with their cameras random zebras walking past.
And somebody has lost their zebras. What the hell? What is happening? Oh my God, please get away. Hi, buddy.
Just talking.
Things right up on his car?
To them, yes. Just walking by. Go. All of these zebras.
What the f***?
My favorite.
That's
about
not
that
real,
bite.
That sound. You that, added
no,
that.
No, I did not. So in this, I'll play it again. The guy says, you heard him. And then you can hear the zebras walking past his car.
What the f***?
That's real. They're just click, 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 click.
Yes.
Poofing on down the street.
So they've gotten three of them. They suspended their Zebra Watch search last night, and they're going to start up again this morning for the fourth one. And they're busy telling everyone in this area of North Bend, Washington, like, hey, don't spook it. Don't go on private property. Don't go get a group of people chasing this thing because they're used to being in herds or in dazzles. As I've learned, a dazzle.
That's what you call a several zebra?
Dazzle.
Zebras.
Mm-hmm. So in this case, they're freaked out that. But this has gotten so much attention. Listen to this piece. This is from K5 in Seattle.
There's a herd of wild zebras running loose in my fragile mind.
This new song by North Bend musician Bob Antone says it all.
Rodeo clown brought them down, but there's lost and left outside.
The search for the last lost zebra?
He jumped the fence and he has been gone since.
Has captivated a community.
Because they even wrote a song about it.
Is that on Spotify yet or no? Like, can I get that? That's a pretty good song, Bob.
You have nothing else going on in your day. You can just, in a matter of a half a day, write a song about a missing zebra.
You said they suspended the search. What does that mean? They suspended the search.
Well, because it was getting late, so they stopped last night, and then they're
there was an active search for the zebras.
Well, yeah, zebra search, yes. So then they thought they would start it up again this morning.
Hey, listen, we're going to shut it down here tonight. No more looking for the zebras. Everybody get a good night's rest.
Right.
See you back out here at sunrise, at daybreak.
I mean, what would the average distance be for a zebra on the loose?
Yeah. Average foot speed over uneven ground is 4 miles an hour. That gives us a radius of 6 miles. Now, what I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, doghouse in that area. Checkpoints go up at 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball.
There's a herd of wild zebras.
Go get him.
Running loose in my fragile mind.
What dish were they making there on Good Morning America? That thing was swimming in butter. I know, you can't see. We got four monitors up here in the newsroom. We get distracted by them from time to time. Good Morning America is up there doing one of their little cooking segments or whatever. Was the guy making butter soup?
A couple of sticks in there.
A couple of cutlets or something he was making. He just kept throwing butter in there. All right. Neither here nor there. Governor Tony Evers, you want some of this? He's back on pothole patrol again.
We fix the damn roads.
Yeah, this may be the governor's legacy. He certainly talks about it a lot.
So, you're darn right. We've been fixing the damn roads.
I think he's trolling you.
I would be honored if the governor of the state, regardless of the man, woman, party, whatever, paid any attention to this program. I would be honored.
Multiple times that he fixes roads and then there's a dam in there and there's a smile and almost a wink and a nod.
We fixed the damn roads.
It was from that first time. Yeah. That's when he almost broke, right? Days before his reelection campaign. Yeah. And they were asking him a question. And I really think I put myself in the governor's shoes. And he's he was not a politician prior to this. He was state superintendent of public instruction.
Right.
So he's running for reelection and he's got to go out and do the campaigning and they're asking him the questions and he's got to be like, they asked me this stuff. What else do you want me to tell you? The election's tomorrow. I did this. I did that. I fixed the damn roads. Like, vote for me or not. That's what it felt like. Nonetheless, the governor is touring the state once again. We get these big, extensive news releases of where he's going to be and what he's going to be doing, and this is what he's doing. He is filling potholes. He's literally filling the potholes. Monday, he was in North Central Wisconsin. Governor's got blue jeans on, and it looked like a flannel or just kind of a basic collar shirt, but he's got the road worker orange and yellow vest on, you know, just like the crew out there. And he was doing it all. I'll give him this. I mean, granted, it was a photo op. He didn't work, you know, a shift.
Says you,
right?
You weren't there.
Wasn't 6 to 3, as far as I know, with the crew. But he had a shovel at one point. Did some raking. Even had the tamper out. That's that big thing with the flat bottom.
Boy, if I didn't know better, you sound a little jealous.
Well, I just don't want him stealing my work with Johnson & Sons.
He's trolling so much, he starts taking your Johnson & Sons ad.
Hey, listen, we're going to move the Johnson & Sons partnership to the governor's office.
Yeah, right? We want the governor to be the one that comes out to our project.
Stay in your lane, governor. I'm the paving guy.
Oh, right. That'd be fantastic.
WSAW-TV out of Wausau was there for the big event.
Safe roads are really important for all sorts of reasons, including, you know, people getting into work every day. If you're in a work zone, please be very, very careful. I think that is critically important.
I'll give him that. Now, he's encouraging people to take caution in work zones. He pointed out a number of accidents. I believe several of them were fatal in our state last year in work zones. So obviously an important message, and I certainly don't make light of that. So if this is what it takes to get the news stations to come out there and have you have your message, then fine.
That's, so be it.
That's good. But, you know, again, it gives us an opportunity to just, you know.
We fix the damn roads.
I would otherwise argue also the politicians filling potholes thing has sort of jumped the shark.
I was going to say he's not the first to do it, nor will he be the last.
I think Mayor Barrett was out there filling potholes. Yeah. I feel like Mayor Norquist before him, that was the thing that he would do. They're out there. Yeah. Okay, yeah, this is real important. See, watch. You put the hot mix right in here and then you tamp it down. See?
See, we're doing it. We swear.
You know where I think he's going to be in Southeast Wisconsin today. You ought to visit West Dallas. The mayor there just got hit by a car.
I was surprised, but not shocked the way people drive nowadays. I see the traffic fly by here all the time. Early in the morning, people run the stop signs with regularity.
It's Mayor Dan Devine in West Dallas. Yeah, he is okay. He was out walking his dog. Dog's okay. All right, so why bring it up? Why make a deal? He posted to social media because, much like the governor, he just wanted to draw attention to,
right.
Like, I'm okay, but this could have ended a lot worse if it was a small child or anybody else.
Essentially, he was just walking across a crosswalk when the driver was looking left into the oncoming, you know, watching when they could turn. They were turning right, looking left, so it didn't look at him at all when he got bumped. He said totally fine, like suffered very, very minor injuries, but he did get hit by the vehicle.
So that's the message. Workplace safety, right? When you got the men and women out there in the work zones, definitely a time not to be on the phone and definitely a time to give them a break. Wasn't that the campaign, right? Give them a break. Just slow it down.
Yeah.
You'll get there. And that point is well taken. I've got a stretch, though, for the governor if he's going to be here. I get off the freeway at College Avenue on the south side.
Oh, there's some work being done.
There's a
over
spot
there.
Between there and 27th Street that is a moonscape.
Yeah, it needs some work.
We're done with filling those potholes. Like, we need to take the top off and lay a whole new thing of asphalt there. If he's looking for work.
Investments in our kids, our communities, our public schools, fixing the damn roads, and so much more.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drakamp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Perfect day today, high of 71 degrees, a little bit cooler near the lake with a lake breeze. Scattered showers tonight, low down to 53, we're at 52 in Milwaukee.
Something you might see on the TV shows tonight and tomorrow, the local news anyway, the Reimagining 175 study is going to have a public hearing today. So this is the stretch of road between Wisconsin and Lisbon, 175 north of American Family Field.
I contend this is far more interesting than it sounds on spec, right? Hey, the boys were talking about an important community meeting tonight about roads, right?
I'm curious because you've talked about it. Like, just the grading over there is just interesting. Like, at some points that roadway is really low. It's like almost like in a well, and others it's up in the air. So if you were to remove that and redo it as part of the larger 95 or 94 corridor project and the stadium interchange project, what would you do and how could you do it? I'm just curious to see what they would come up with.
So the quote-unquote reimagining that is taking place for 175, and I think this is an entirely different conversation than the one going on between whether or not we ought to take a fully operational and useful freeway spur between the Marquette and the Hone, whether we ought to drop that down to street level and spur development. Totally different conversation about this stadium freeway that kind of connects to nothing. And it was a product of the fact that we didn't finish the freeway system as it was originally imagined when it was being built. This northbound stretch there, it was supposed to connect up with a northern bypass that connected 43 with now Interstate 41. And this was going to connect, and it never got finished. So it just sort of dead ends there right in the neighborhood.
You can get off on Lloyd or whatnot, yeah. And then it just kind of finishes there with Lisbon and what. So, yeah, so they're going to hold this event later on this evening, the DOT is. And it's not a, hey, here's what's happening. It's more of a, hey, we'd like to hear from residents. We'd like to hear from some folks. We want to collaborate with the community to figure out what best to do with this stretch, if anything.
And you raised an interesting point that is, you know, part of it is raised because you got to go over the Menominee Valley once you get past Wisconsin Avenue there. And then part of it is lowered, right, yeah. So that the other street grade is above.
Yeah.
So is there enough dirt anywhere to fill that back in and then build a road on top of it?
And what's over there, Washington Park?
Is yeah.
Okay.
So you would connect Washington Park once again with Washington Heights, which is the neighborhood across the way.
Yeah.
Higher end neighborhood for the city of Milwaukee. That's right next to the Washington Highlands, which is in Wauwatosa. So I understand why there's a desire to do that. I just don't know. That's an engineering feat.
Well, we'll see.
To pull it off.
They will discuss it.
See,
today.
We made that meeting really sexy.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Find out more
Big,
details.
Big sexy
tomorrow.
Meeting tonight. 8:57. WTMJ's Steve Scafidi with the Political Power Hour is up next.